you're going to have a million new neighbors in the Puget Sound area by 2040. That's the estimate. So a question is, how are all of us going to get around? One of the people trying to answer that question is Peter Rogoff, the new CEO of Sound Transit. That's the transit agency in charge of light rail and commuter buses. And boy, do they have big plans this year, with new light rail stations set to open on Capitol Hill and Husky Stadium this spring, groundbreaking on the East Side light rail next month, and a $15 billion initiative on the ballot this fall. The new CEO, Peter Rogoff, told me what those billions of dollars could pay for.
Well, there's a lot of projects, as many as 100 that are currently being contemplated. There's expanded commuter rail service. There is expanding light rail north, south, east, and west. There's enhanced bus service, including longer distance and more frequent commuter bus routes. And there's also the great challenge of trying to get some of those bus routes out of traffic, which involves some capital investments, whether it's bus-only lanes. Opportunities for buses to sort of jump the queue at traffic lights and get signal priority to get a green light every time they come through, just to increase the efficiency of the system.
Well, let's talk about expanded light rail. What do you say to somebody in Burien or Des Moines who's not going to see a light rail stop, but they're part of that three-county area? They're paying into Sound Transit through taxes and car tabs. What do you say to that person who might feel underserved for all this money?
Well, I think they want to look at what mobility in the entire region means for them, both for their commute, but also for the economic well-being of their community. Even if they don't commute, they've got a lot of friends and neighbors that do. Also, increasingly, let's remember that every passenger that has decided to board either a commuter rail or light rail train that day is one less car on the highway. There's going to be, we know from the census, a million more people in this region by 2040. And our transportation system here is already clogged to the gills. So with a million more people, are we going to plan for it, or are we going to be overwhelmed by it?
Let's talk about neighborhoods that will get a light rail stop. Sometimes a light rail station can really change a community. Could be very welcome development, could drive up prices, could force some people out. What role can Sound Transit play to ensure that transit investment is going to benefit everybody in a community?
Well, I think there's important partnerships that are already being made but can be expanded on with those local communities. One thing that this community does, which is frankly quite rare nationally, has a program in place called Orca Lift to provide low-income citizens effectively a lower transit fare. This is always a tension that transit systems put up with all the time. On the one hand, they need to make sure that transit fares are low enough that low-income citizens who really need the service can use it. On the other hand, they have to raise revenue to pay the bills. Having an opportunity to make sure that there's affordable fares for those who really need lower fares, while simultaneously having the ability to charge other people more to pay the bills, is a great benefit to a transit system. And Sound Transit, frankly, is a great innovator nationally in taking that on.
You know, it could be 15 years before all these light rail projects are done. What do you have to say to commuters sitting, listening to you in gridlock right now?
Well, two things. One, we are looking at some nearer term investments with our partners to improve commutes in the near term. The other thing that I'd tell those commuters is one of the things I really want to bring has not so much to do with money, but with time. There's been some really successful efforts to get all of the partners in a major project to sit down together to conspire on how they can do the project more quickly. Normally when you go through a very lengthy environmental review process and permitting process, it can take a great many years. And those are years that you don't have shovels in the ground. Those are years you're not providing the rail service that people want. Those are the years you're not necessarily getting people out of traffic. There are sort of new models emerging where everyone can sit down and commit to a schedule early and get shovels in the ground sooner to get these things done so we can get the improvements to the public sooner.
Can I pick your brain about the future? Because you're building, you're planning and investing in long-term projects. How do you think about the future of transportation? We're hearing about self-driving cars. They're on the way.
That's one example. I mean, there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be built out to sort of fully facilitate self-driving cars. And self-driving cars are something we also need to be mindful in terms of who's getting the benefits. Is self-driving cars going to be something that benefits everyone or just the folks that can afford to replace a car with a new car?
Self-driving cars are not going to make rail obsolete. You're not building white elephants.
No, I don't think so. It's not going to work for people that don't own cars. In terms of the population growth that we're going to see, you know, people often fall into this trap of arguing that it's all about highways versus light rail versus heavy rail versus buses. And frankly, with 1 million more people coming in the next 40 years, we're going to need more of all of it.
There'll be enough frustration for everyone. Don't worry.
That's right.
Peter Rogoff, new CEO of Sound Transit. Thanks for joining me.
No, thanks for having me.